What's up, guys? Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Christian Bergman Show. We're here in Vegas. I'm joined here by my friend Jesse Kitachai.
That's right.
We're here for Ryan Pineda's mastermind event, getting ready to head down for the welcome dinner, but figured we'd film a podcast here and talk about a little bit about your story and, you know, what brought you here and how you got into real estate. So
yeah.
Where are you from? What market are you in now?
Tacoma, Washington. Yeah. So it's kind of, well, the outskirts of Tacoma, really. So yeah, Washington State, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that where you're doing deals?
Yeah. All my deals are there. Okay. I kind of thought about doing deals here cause I'm here part time, but it's just, you know, I'm used to a certain methodology and, you know, I'm more of a developer like we talked about, and there's not much of that going on around here. I mean, there is, but you know, not on the scale that I want to be on. So, yeah.
Tacoma. So is that your, what would you say your main business is in Tacoma?
It'd be land development.
Okay.
Yeah. I do a lot of, single family, stuff, some stick. I have a mix of stick built, single family homes with, actual manufacturer homes as well. That's kind of like my bread and butter. My niche is developing rural plots for manufactured homes, kind of like staying below the average house price, like the $500,000 range and below. Right. That's kind of like my niche, yeah.
Gotcha.
So that's what we do.
Cool. So are you guys like basically acquiring the land and then, you know, developing it that way?
Yep,
going
exactly.
Through that process?
Exactly, yeah. That's kind of our... every market, as you know, is different. So up there, there's a lot of everybody, but really there's still a lot of land, like raw land. And a lot of the bigger developers, the national developers, don't really touch those.
That's interesting. You'd think in that market that
that they do. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's kind of cool because I've been doing construction before I got into the real estate game. So I've seen both sides. I've worked for, just from a labor standpoint, I've worked for big developers like D.R. Horton and stuff like that.
Okay.
And so just being me, I picked a lot of foreman brain and superintendent brains and asked them, well, why are you guys thinking about here? And this was, you know, what, 8 years ago or whatever. So I kind of understand like their plays up there at this point, the national builder level up there, at least in my area. I mean, I can't talk for the whole state, but sure. On our side of the Sound, the Puget Sound, a lot of them do a lot of deals with local builders or local developers per se, or investors too, where we pick the land. We'll do, like one of my buddies actually did this. He bought a big 20 acre raw piece of land, and we all know the area because that's where we're from. And he actually did a deal with another, I don't know if you know, Quadrant Home. You ever heard of Quadrant Home? They might not be national. I think they're more state level, but anyways, he did a deal where he purchased the land and he was working closely with those guys, those money guys. And he did all the legwork. He put all the infrastructure in and all that stuff. And then he flipped it to them as a flip, land flip technically. So
right.
he value added just enough for them to be comfortable with plotting their, you know, their little spec house.
Is that what they call like the entitlement process? Is that a piece of it? Cause I've hear that thrown around a lot and
yeah,
I don't quite understand.
You know, I believe that's what it's called. All I know, like in my level, we've done that once or twice, the group that I run with. So I'm not 100% sure exactly if that's what they do all the time. I know we've done it a few times and it seems to be what everybody else in the area is doing.
Right.
So, you know, I wish I could touch on more of what they call that or what they do at that level. But I just know that in my area, that's been done quite a few times. And so all that said, basically, I'm going back to the point that us local builders and developers, we still have a lot of raw land
right.
to play with, you know? And so we go off of what our area is kind of calling for at this point. And there's a lot of speed builders. There's a lot of homes out there that are in big neighborhoods with, you know, 8 by 10 foot yards and all that stuff. But walking around the neighborhood and knowing the people that we know who are in the market to buy, at least 50% of the people that we know are staying away from that. They still hold true to the, I want a piece of land, you know, I want
right.
space for a garden
right.
or a shop, you know, or something like that. And so that's my niche. And that's where the builders that I run with and, you know, our group, we look for properties that are obviously under market value priced. Usually it's, you know, Susan from the diner's sister that's selling a piece of property off. So we stay pretty like, kind of, for lack of better terms, like good old boy still, mm-hmm. where it's just yeah. in town kind of thing. But, you know, it stays pretty lucrative. So,
yeah.
And because there's a lot of land. So,
and yeah. is the type of home that you're putting on there more of entry level or somewhere just above that to?
Yeah. Yeah. So it's, technically speaking, if you want to call it something, it's entry level.
Right.
It's the 3-bed, 2-bath, 1,500 square foot or below. And that goes for whether we're stick building it or whether we're buying a manufactured home from a supplier and just plopping it on there and mm-hmm. just developing it like that. And most of that is because, and you know, calling it a starter home is basically, I'm just using the size relevance of it because right. That's a usual starter home size. But right. really, if I were to kind of like talk in depth of why that size works, it's because our area is more catered to blue collar. And so that's kind of, again, that's part of my mission statement and it's part of my niche is sticking to that area, sticking to that size and that kind of demographic, mostly because it's kind of like held close to my heart, really. My parents are blue collar, you know, I am obviously, so it's kind of one of those things. But yeah, but we get a lot of like retirees, you know, a lot of, you know, let's just say, for example, like a dude who worked at Boeing for, you know, 30 years and he wasn't really a mechanic, but
sure.
he kind of worked like maybe a custodian job or something. Like, we get a lot of those guys coming out to our area to kind of settle out. And then we get a lot of military families who are just starting. So starter homes. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like our demographic. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, it's like you said, it has to do with more, you know, exactly who you're building this home for.
Right.
And the thing I see a lot in multifamily is all the development is catered toward the luxury.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
you know, I get it because building costs are, you know, highly, they fluctuate a lot and
right.
it can be difficult to make sense of on a multifamily scale, like building more affordable housing.
Sure.
Because the building costs are so high. But it's cool to see that on a smaller scale, you're still making a difference. You're building these homes for these people who, like you said, you know, worked for a company for 30 years and they
right.
just want a place to live and they want somewhere to have a garden. And,
exactly. Yeah. You know. And another thing is that, you know, they're getting, these guys are getting priced out. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like a 3-bedroom, 2-bath in one of these communities that D.R. Horton puts up is 580, 650,
yeah.
you know, and these guys can't afford that, you know, right. and not only can they not afford it, but they also just don't want that kind of lifestyle. They don't want to wake up and, you know, see Timmy John and all those guys next door, right? like you can, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just
yeah.
a little too close for the country folk out there. And,
sure.
and I'm sure that there's that crowd in every state. I just so happen to be in that particular crowd in my state.
Right.
And that's kind of where, and I think I'll just stick there for the next 10 years.
Yeah.
Because no, it's a lot of demand.
Yeah. And it has to make sense for you as the
right.
person who's developing,
exactly.
you know, building these homes. But you're doing a huge service for the
yeah.
community.
And that's, you know, I was talking to Eric, you know, Eric Hensley.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was
yep.
talking to Eric 2 weeks ago. And, you know, he just did some good, I think he picked up a development company or something like that.
Mm.
And, I asked him, you know, just out of curiosity, I said, well, what's your goal? What's your vision with all these developments you got going? I'm just curious, you know, as
yeah.
a developer myself, I
yeah.
want to know, like, what's the play after all these, you know, properties are sold? Like, what's behind it? He said, yeah, and he was telling me, you know, he's got his own story and stuff. And he asked me, well, what's your vision? What's your play? And I was like, well, really, it's kind of a long-winded answer, but really it's just, my vision and is to help people like my parents who worked their whole lives and are just now getting into a home, you know,
right.
that they own, mostly because of affordability, you know, issues and stuff like that. And so as I kind of grow in my financial life, I start to see these things differently. And so, you know, and I'm a mission. I was in the military before, so like everything I do is always mission based. I can't like wake up in the morning motivated without understanding like my vision and my mission. And so one of the cool things about Pineda and his whole structure and stuff is it helped me define who I want to be as a developer or as a investor, I guess. And so that's kind of where I'm going toward. And I just kind of figured all this out in the last 6 months. And like, because I've done everything. I've built stick-built homes, you know, in the heart of Tacoma. I've done flips. You know, I've done pretty much everything you can do except for large-scale multifamily, which I want to be in here in the near future. But as of now, I've been doing a lot of like kind of onesie twosies here and there, try to mm-hmm. see like, and you know, yeah, it makes good money, right? No matter what you do, if you get the right deal, you make good money. But for me, it's like, I can't wake up in the morning just thinking about money.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it's like that for everybody else.
Yeah. And you know, to kind of go off of that, I retired from baseball because, the mission was no longer there. Like I got to the big leagues. That was the original mission.
Right.
The mission then kind of became to stay there. And then, you know, the things that I had to take on in order to, you know, potentially stay there, it was no longer my mission. That's what I realized. And yes, like I could have invested 1, 2, 3, 4 more years into trying to get back there.
Right.
Just to make more money.
Gotcha.
It was not enough.
Yeah.
So I love that you said that, that, you know, money, look, we do this to make money.
Right.
We're in real estate to make money, but there needs to be something else behind it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Otherwise, it just becomes kind of empty and hollow. And,
yeah.
You know, you don't go to the extent that you're going, you know, to find these deals and do the stuff that you're doing. So yeah, totally.
Yeah,
understand
cool.
what you're saying there.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, I mean, I just, yeah, I'm sure as you know, it's a lot of stress doing these.
Yeah.
You know, it's a lot. There's a lot on the line. You know, and it's,
and at a certain point, it becomes, well, I've got enough money. I don't need to do this anymore.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And so I'm just basically, I'm queuing myself up to just kind of understand my next 10 years of developing. And, you know, and that's also coming from the market standpoint too. I'm not just saying, you know, it's just my mission because that's, you know, what I feel like in my heart or whatever it is. But at the same time, the things that I'm doing is, I'm getting stuff so under market value that, it, you know, all this stuff with inflation and all that, it kind of doesn't really matter what it does, you know, to an extent, obviously, because we're so, as we all do, we're so under market value that once we get it on the market, the margins are huge. It's like, it's kind of a no-brainer. And I kind of have the jump on the market because I run with the only, I mean, it's such a small place. There's probably 15 builders that do what I do in my area. And I've kind of figured out what they haven't, in a sense, to where I'm kind of monopolizing my process by implementing different systems in place to kind of pick up the slack on on the process itself, because every building process has slow lulls, and you know, there's in the manufactured home world, there's a couple of things that don't depend on me. It's another company, or you know, whatever. It's the supply company,
right.
or you know, manufactured homes are trucked in, so it's the trucking company issue, which is a big issue these days. And so I'm kind of like plugging myself into those issue places strategically so that I monopolize the whole system and then become a speed builder in a sense.
Right.
And so,
you don't run into as many issues as like the other builders do. Because,
right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Cause I've kind of figured out like, as opposed to taking it as it comes, I'm understanding like in my pipeline, there's going to be X, Y, Z that I got to deal with. Mm-hmm. And so I'm setting relationships up with people that other builders aren't doing, you know, and I'm also starting companies that assist in my process that other builders aren't doing. So I'm hoping the next year or so I've got a complete development pipeline all behind my company that we can also outsource our services to the other builders, so it becomes more lucrative as well.
Sure.
So
yeah. So what are you doing? I don't know if you can say it or not, but
yeah.
Give it up. I'm sure they're probably not watching my podcast, but
you not know.
I would, how are you no. How are you like getting involved in those different areas to get that edge?
No, I'll tell you what's, it's pretty simple. It's cut and dry, really. So there's, I'll just kind of explain it. I'll explain the short of it all. So you buy the land. This is just the process. You purchase the land, you acquire the land, and then you buy the house, really. Those are the two main things you buy first. Then you develop the land itself so it can receive the house. That means you put your infrastructure in place, you know, power, water, sewer.
Right.
Clear it all, get it ready, and then you truck it in from the supplier. Whenever the supplier is ready to truck it, they'll tell you. It's usually 3 to 6 months before the house is built for you. You truck it in, And then once you truck it in, the house sits on a foundation that you pour for it. and then you technically have to tie the two halves together, or the three halves. So it's either two or three halves. So it's in thirds or it's in half. But that company who ties those properties, those houses together, it's a certain type of license you have to have in the construction world. And there's not very many of them. So you do that, and then you tie the property in around it, meaning like you skirt the foundation, you build decks if it's raised up, you landscape it. Obviously, you put a septic system in and all that if you need it, or tie it to sewer. Pour your driveway, and then you're done. You know, kind of the short idea of it. Well, in our process up north, what I've found is that the trucking, well, first of all, the supply company, if, like I said, it's still good old boy, there's probably 15 or 20 companies who sell houses up north. And those guys, they're businesses, so they cater to people who have more. You know, and if you can sure. do a contract, right, they'll be more inclined to dealing with you on a more, you know, scalable level, meaning like they'll put you first or whatever. And then there's the trucking. And then these are all things that are outside of out of my control at right. this point, right, right. As a developer or builder. Trucking, and then the guys who tie the homes in, you know. And all the people who I know who do what I do, first of all, they're kind of older gentlemen, and they've been in the business their whole lives. And so, I don't know, I don't want to call it lazy, but they kind of just get stuck in their way that they don't want to innovate. Well, for me, you know, I'm young and hungry, and, you know, right. I'm seeing the holes. And the holes are really these three things. They're the supply companies need to like you. That's one. And so I've created relationships with three of the main supply companies that support our area by giving them part of, well, basically I'm giving them work in a way that they're trying to, that speeds up their process. Because in-house there at the supply companies, they have their own processes.
Right.
Well, I can, in their process, not to go too much in depth, I can plug into two or three of the things with my experience and with my network, which makes their process streamlined. And sure. so by me doing that for them, they're willing to support my venture by putting me first. Like right. if there was 10 houses going out in a month, they give me the first slot. So there's that. And then there's the trucking issue, which is a really simple thing. You know, it's just there's certain truckers who truck houses, and you just need to get them to pick your house up and drop it off at your property. And that's really simple, right? And one of the biggest things is that the builders don't have any relationships with trucking companies. And I just decided I'm opening up my own trucking company. And so we're getting a semi in place, and, you know, I have a couple drivers that are on board with me, and we're going to truck our own houses in. And then the last piece is that company that ties the houses together, which is basically a construction process. And it's a license you have to have. And, I know the people who issue those licenses, so we're going to get our license here probably
next
year.
That was the one you said is not. There's not a whole lot of companies that actually
right.
do that.
There isn't. Yeah, there's. You know, I could probably count them on my hand.
Right.
How many there are up north? So.
Yeah. So it, you know, it's not rocket science here.
Not at all.
It really comes down to like relationships and figuring out, you know, yeah. what those companies' bottlenecks are in a sense,
right.
and helping them out.
Yeah, and you know, plugging in where we can, yeah. and, you know, getting that in. So, anyways, so that's what I'm doing. I told it to one of my other buddies, and he was freaking out. He's like, dude, you know, it's such a simple concept, but you will change the development world and the manufactured home section up in the Northwest if you can pull that off all at one time and start using that, because other builders will come to you for your resources.
Absolutely.
And then I have yeah. separate, and you know, how Ryan has his stuff all set up,
right.
all supporting one thing kind of thing. That's kind of where I got the idea, really. And I was like, dude, it's really simple. It's yeah. a little bit more management. I got to build a couple more teams. But, I mean, what's that, an extra right. 6 months of my life? And then, you know, I right. got 10 years of developing underneath.
Right.
So, yeah, that's kind of where my
that's
play
awesome,
is.
Man. So,
yeah.
is that, going into 2022, is that kind of the just continue to build that out and obviously build in those things you're plugging in?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so I've got a couple of projects that I got to finish off from last year that aren't a part of my new vision, which are basically just big luxury stick-built houses. Mm-hmm. And luxury up there is big farmhouses on 5-acre lots. And so I got a couple of those being built here right now. and once I sell those off, I'm niching down to just doing what I just explained
gotcha.
To you. it's just more streamlined. I'm going to make a little bit less money at first, but to be honest, like we talked about, I mean, it's hitting me in the heart,
exactly.
And that's kind of where I want to stick. So, yeah.
That's awesome, man. I appreciate you sharing that with me.
Really
cool. Where can people follow along with you and do you post on social media and stuff like that?
You know, I do. I just started doing that. Instagram is where I'm going to start branching stuff off of. You know, I just bought some equipment and stuff. We're going to do some vlogging type stuff.
Cool.
Up in the Northwest. I got some stuff going with Ryan Pineda too that we might be, you know, hopefully getting a couple of videos done up north too. We'll see how that goes. But
yeah, cool.
Yeah, that'd be cool. But yeah, my Instagram is Jess the Builder. It's pretty simple, but the is THA. So Jess the Builder, that's where everyone can find me for now, and I'll branch everything off from there. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, we'll put it in the description.
Yeah.
Thanks again for coming on, and definitely follow along with what he's doing. Really cool story, and I'm excited to see what we do this year. And
thanks, man.
You know, going into next couple of days, hopefully learn a few things. I definitely learned a lot just sitting here talking with you, because development's kind of a world that not a lot of people are in. It's kind of like, I don't understand it. But again, appreciate you coming on.
Thanks for having me, man. That's cool. I hope we talk again.
Yeah. That'd be cool. Sounds good. See you guys.
All right, man.